never can pray too much. I've never run into anyone that said, you know what, I'm going to have to slack up on that praying. I'm praying too much these days. Never have ran into. Now, eating, I have run into some people who said they were eating too much. And maybe even working too much. But I don't think I've ever ran across anyone that's told me, pray for me, I'm praying too much. We probably hear more requests about God helping us to pray more than most anything else we hear about. And, I know that's an area of my life that I'm asking God to help me. I've been trying. I try not to ask the people here, if the church, to do anything that I'm not willing to do myself. And I've been reading 15 minutes a day and praying, and at the least 15 minutes, and I trust that you're just would keep doing that. Read your Bible 15 minutes a day. You say, that's a cinch, preacher. Nothing to it. Okay. How's it going for you? Pray 15 minutes a day. You know, just say, well, I'll pray an hour a day. Well, that's good. The next person might say, well, I'm not praying 15 minutes a day. Well, you know, just keep working at it. Ask God to help you. There's a lot to pray about. There is. And sometimes you just have to organize your thoughts when you go to pray. Or, you'll just find yourself everywhere. And so just want to help people to grow and to get into a good regiment of reading their Bible and praying. It's very important. Now, if you're here tonight and you're, I'm going to say, 25 and younger, if you haven't developed a good Bible regiment, a good daily devotional time, it's time to do that. The longer you wait, the harder it'll become. And I just really want to encourage you now. Read your Bible and pray every day. It's the only way. If you intend on being in church, I don't mean just any church. I'm not talking about the rock church. I'm talking about the church of the living God where the Word of God is preached. If you intend on being in church 10 years from now, 15 years from now, 20 years from now, there's just some things you're going to have to come to grips with. Number one, I'm going to stay in the Word of God on a regular basis. Number two, I'm going to be a prayer warrior. I'm going to pray about things. I'm going to take things to God in prayer. Number three, I'm going to be a faithful attender to the house of God. I'm not going to just take it, come, and go, you know, as it avails itself. And then you're going to have a little fight in you. We're in a warfare. You're going to have a little fight in you. A little stick'em, right? Stand and fight. You can't wear your feelings on your sleeve now. Not if you're going to stay in church. I tell you, church people can be mean sometimes. That's right. Somebody say something to you and before you know, I quit church. Well, I wouldn't let somebody cause me to quit church. That's right. So you're going to have a little fight in you, a little stick 'em. And so I pray that you're in it for the long haul. Amen. Brother Larry back there is in it for the long haul. 85 today. 85. Happy birthday, Brother Larry. Amen. After the service, we, you know, when people have birthdays, we like to eat. And so we've got some ice cream and cake out after the service. I told you Sunday night, I said, we've got a little surprise for you Wednesday. And so some of the ladies have gotten together, and Sister Barbara, I think, has gotten with them. And so we've got some ice cream out there. And we just looked for an occasion to have ice cream and just found out Brother Larry was 85 today, so here's a reason. Amen. We sure do appreciate you, Brother Larry. Brother Larry has been a man who has stuck with it. He stuck with it. And he'll tell you, some of you young people need to find these folks that's got some white hair now. Listen to me, some gray hair. And say, what's the secret? And they're going to tell you some of the things that's going to help you to stick by the stuff through the years. That's right. See, they've been where you haven't. And hopefully you're wanting to get where they are one day. And so go to them and ask them what God has done to help them to stay with the stuff, to be faithful all these years. I think it would benefit you greatly. All right, here's what we're going to do tonight. Take your Bible and turn to Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. So last few days I've been praying, and maybe 4 or 5 days, about these Ten Commandments. And I've been looking at some things, and so I've just developed some things, and I haven't got it completed yet, but I want to preach on the Ten Commandments and the family, and so I'm going to move that, and I think I'm going to develop some Sunday morning services on the Ten Commandments and how to incorporate them in your home and really get a little deeper into those Ten Commandments. God's really been speaking to my heart about it. And so tonight we're just going to kind of get right back into going through the book of Deuteronomy. And I want to share about four truths with you out of Deuteronomy 6 and 7. I want you to notice with me as you stand to your feet, these Ten Commandments that God gave in chapter 5. Now, we're going to be in chapter 6 and 7, but when you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 5, you have these Ten Commandments. And you know, I want you to listen carefully to what I'm getting ready to say so you don't misunderstand me. Sometimes we think, well, you know, the Ten Commandments need to be taught in the schoolroom. And the Ten Commandments need to be taught, you know, at the Capitol. And the Ten Commandments need to be taught in the break room, you know, down at work. But as I read here, there's certainly nothing wrong with teaching the Ten Commandments there. But the Ten Commandments need to be taught in your living room. God said, you teach them to your children. There's just some things we can't leave up to others. Now, there's nothing wrong with getting support from a pastor, from a teacher, a Sunday school teacher, from a children's church worker. There's nothing wrong with getting a little support and come along. But listen, they're not a substitute. Every parent needs to be teaching their children the Word of God. If your children are at home, teach them the Word of God. When your grandchildren come over, teach them the Word of God. I'm going to give you some things on that before we close tonight. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to look with me. I want to talk to you about how to be obedient. You struggle with obedience? I think everyone does, because we have this old flesh. And so I want to talk to you about how to be obedient. And I see four major things in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and Deuteronomy chapter 7 on how to stay obedient. When I look through this, and I want you to just follow along with me, look in chapter 5, look at the latter part of verse number 27 of chapter 5. It says, and do it. You know, obey it. Do it. I fear that we have a lot of folks who say they're Christians who know it, who've heard it, maybe could even tell it. But there's a disconnect in doing it. And so God gave this for us to do. And so he said this, he said in chapter 5, verse 27, do it. Look, if you would, in chapter 5 and verse number 29, right in the middle, he said, keep all my commandments always. Keep, do, obey. Look, if you would, in verse number 31, the latter part of verse 31, that they may do them. Look at verse 32, you shall observe to do, therefore, as the Lord your God hath commanded you. Look at verse 33 of chapter 5. Ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you. You see what God is saying? I'm looking for obedience. You know, the Bible says to obey is better than sacrifice. We're not just to be hearers of the word. We're to be doers, and we know this. And so I want to help you to do by the teaching of the Bible. Look, if you would, in chapter 6, in verse number 1, right along the end part there, that ye might do them. You see that? Chapter 6, verse 1. Chapter 6, verse 2, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments. In chapter 6, in verse number 3, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it. And then you go over to chapter 6 and you look down in verse number 17. And it says, ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God. God is just saying, hey, do it. Do it. Look in verse number 18 of chapter number 6. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord. And we could just go on and on, but I want to give you these four things. What's going to help me be obedient? You say, well, I have the Holy Spirit. Thank God for that. Amen. Thank God we who are saved have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. He's our help. But I want to give you some teaching from the Bible. What does the Bible say that will help us be obedient? It'll help us to obey the Word of God. We'll see this here as Moses got from God to give to these people and said, listen, I'm going to give you these things to help you to do. You said you would do it. If you go back again to chapter 5 and verse 27, they told Moses in chapter 5, verse 27, they said, Moses, go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it. We'll do it. And I believe there's many here tonight with that same attitude. We want to do it. But now if it's just, it's going to take more than willpower. You know, it's going to take some truth. We're going to have to rely on what God says in order to do what God commands. Father, would you help me to be a help to your people? And I pray that your word would find resting and lodging in our hearts and that we would put it into practice in our lives. And I pray that as a direct result of that, the name of Christ would be exalted in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen, you may be seated. All right, so what can we do? Well, let's highlight a few things. Number one, in order to do it, you've got to know it. You know? Now, I hear folks saying all the time, well, you know, you can teach the children the Bible, but if they don't love Jesus, they'll never do it. Well, teach it to them first. Amen. Well, you can teach the children the Ten Commandments, but if they don't love God, they won't keep them. Well, teach them the Ten Commandments first. Teach them the Ten. They can't do them if they don't know them. Right? Learn. Teach them. Teach them. So number one, I want you to write this down. Learn God's truth. You can't do what you don't know. Got to get in the book, brethren. Got to get in the Word of God. Got to know what God has said. How can I do what God has said if I do not know what God has said? It's impossible. So I've got to get in the book. I've got to find out what God has said. How can I obey if I don't know? And so learn God's truth. Notice what he said here in verse number 1 of chapter 6. If we were to read in verse 1, chapter 6, verse 1 through 9, that's what this whole section is about, learning God's truth. I'm not going to read it all. I'm not going to go into detail in every verse, but I want to point out a few things that will maybe whet your appetite to get you to look a little deeper into it. Look what he said here in verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you that you might do them. You've got to know them before you can do them. Learn God's truth. Learn God's truth. Now, how does God do that? Well, God gives it to his man, and his man teaches to you. That's God's way. Now, God will teach you. That's right. God will teach you. But aren't you glad for good preachers and teachers that will teach you the Word of God? I wouldn't go to a church that didn't teach and preach the Bible. Wouldn't do it. Thank God for churches that are still preaching and teaching the Bible. A lot of our churches have turned into entertainment centers. That's right. Where folks just kind of come and they want to be entertained. Well, I know better than that here, and I thank God for a group of people that come with their Bible. They got their Bible open, and they want to know what thus saith the Scripture. What does God say? And so he said, God told Moses, he said, Moses, said, I'll tell you, and now here's what I want you to do. Chapter 6, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you. He said, God gave them to me, and I've been commanded to teach them to you. Amen. And you have the responsibility to learn God's truth. Why? Because, look what he said here, that you might do them. God wants me to teach them to you so you can do them. And God will teach them to you so you can do them. God doesn't teach us just so we can have knowledge. God teaches us his word so we can have relationship and fellowship with him. Now, let's look at these words, commandments. You know what commandments are. It's what God says we're to do. Then look at the word statutes. What's a statute? When you read that, what's a statute? It's a rule. What are judgments? It's regulations. Now, notice what God is saying here. It's very important. God said there's guidelines that you need to know when you live life. Every man cannot do that which is right in his own eyes. You just can't do what's right or seems right to you. I have people ask me all the time, well, what determines what's right and wrong? God does. Amen. God does. Not man. God does. And so God said, I have commandments. That's what to do. Sometimes it's what not to do. And then he says, I have statutes. That's rules. There's rules in life. And then there's judgments. That's regulations. Now, here's why he said that you need to know these things. He said, because you're going to a land, you're going to set up shop. Look at verse number 2, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life. Now watch this, that thy days may be prolonged. You know, I've watched it through the years. People that live by the rules live a different kind of life. You just might live a little longer when you live by the rules and don't act foolish and do stupid stuff. Amen. That's what God is saying. Listen, some of the happiest people I know are the holiest people I know. Somehow, we've allowed this crowd to teach us and to tell us that, well, you can't be happy if you're going to be holy. It's the only way to be happy. It's the only way to have true happiness. It's to live right, to do right. Yes. People seeking for happiness outside of holiness, you're not going to get it. You're not going to get it. And so he said right here, he said, learn God's truth. What's it going to help me to do? Look at verse 2 one more time. He said, I've given you these commandments in verse 1. I've given you these statutes. I've given you these judgments. Why? That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God and keep all his statutes and his commandments. It'll help you be obedient. Learning God's word will help you be obedient. Because as you learn it, then God will impress it upon you to do it. Right? Learn God's truth. It helps us to become obedient. It was Paul that said, I wouldn't know that I shouldn't covet had God said, thou shalt not covet. Right? You know, how else are we going to know what to do and what not to do if we don't get in God's word and find out what he says? And so it's very important. It's very important. Now, he said, once you learn God's truth, you're responsible. Look at verse number 6. These words which I command thee this day, I'm in chapter 6, verse 6, shall be in thine heart. That's so important. So many people have it up here. I know what God said do. When you get it down here, you're going to want to do what God says do. Right in here. So this is where it begins. This is where you'll want to begin to do it and to teach it when it gets in here. If you're just bringing it from up here, it just doesn't resonate with people. But when you get it down here, it'll resonate with people. And he said, the first people you need to teach in verse number 7 are those in your home, in particular, your children. And we're going to come back to this. I want to give you about 5 things, parents, that you need to do in teaching your children the Ten Commandments. And I hope you'll listen carefully. It's missing. We are not teaching our children. We, as Bible-believing Christians, are not teaching our children what the Bible says. We're relying on Sunday school, and thank God for Sunday school. Don't misunderstand me now. Thank God for Sunday school. We're relying on Bible clubs, and we're relying on a lot of different things, Christian schools and other types of ministries to teach our children. The primary responsible people to teach the children are the parents. The parents. And so I pray to God now that you're having family devotional time, daily devotional time. You're bringing your children around the Word of God. In verse number 7, what? You're teaching them diligently the commandments of God. In particular, what he's referring to here, the Ten Commandments. All right? You say, I think a lot of youth in America know the Ten Commandments. You think? A lot of stealing and adultery and killing and thievery and lying and cheating going on. Either they don't know them or they're not doing them. Amen. And so we need to understand that we need to learn God's truth so that we can obey God's truth. Number 2, it changes a little bit when you get down into verse number 10. He said, not only are we to learn God's truth, but we're to remember God's blessing. You want to obey God's word? Just remember how God has blessed you. There is just something in me that wants to bring myself under God's truth, and I want to obey God because of his goodness to me. The goodness of God leadeth us to repentance, doesn't it? God's goodness. God's goodness. Look at what he said here in verse number 10. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not. Right? He said, God's going to bless you. God's going to give you some stuff. Now watch this now. Verse number 11. And houses full of all good things which thou fieldest not, or fieldest not. And wells digged which thou didst not, and vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord. He said, don't you forget now. You remember where your blessings come from. Now, this is physical things. These are material things. He said, if you want to obey, you remember what the good hand of God is doing in your life. Remembering God's blessings helps me to obey God's word. So the first responsibility I have is to learn God's truth. The second thing I need to do is I need to remember God's blessing. Now I want to mention something here. When you look at this, what God is basically saying is, I'm going to be good to you. Can I tell you God's good to us? You say, now preacher, God hasn't been good to me lately. God's good to me every day. God's good to you every day. See, the difference is some people realize it and some people don't, but God's good to everyone. God's good to us. Now, not only does God give us things without, he's saying, I'm going to give you things, you don't deserve them. He said, you're not going to plant them. You're not going to earn them. Listen to me now. God said, I'm going to give you some things, you're not going to work for it. You're not going to build it. You're not going to do it. I'm just going to give it to you because I'm good that way. I want to do this for you, right? That's what God said. I want to bless you. Not because you deserve a blessing, but because I'm the God of the blessing, I want to bless you. Not because you're good, God said, but because I'm good, I want to bless you. See, when we remember that, it helps us. It helps us say, I want to serve a God like that. I want to serve a God like that. Can I tell you, God has not only given us all things physically and materially, but God has given us all things spiritually. He's blessed us. You say, well, I'm saved. You didn't do a thing for it. See, God gave it to you. Amen. It's a gift. Think about that. All the spiritual blessings that we have is a gift from God. Remember God's blessings. It just helps us. Every day of our lives, we ought to count our blessings. Every day, we ought to count our blessings. You say, now, preacher, I have some things that are not so good in my life. Well, we all do. We all do. Everyone has trials and tribulations. But can I tell you, the good times have far outweighed the bad times. The good things that God has given has far outweighed the bad things that have happened in my life. God is good. And God is gracious. And so he said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to learn to see the good in all that God is doing in your life. And when you do that, you will want to obey him. Now, if you have this attitude, God's been mean to me. God has not been good to me, and God has done this against me. It's going to cause you to want to rebel against him, and you're not going to keep his word. You're not going to be obedient, and you have believed the lie of the devil, and the devil's going to cause you to err, and you're going to miss the future blessings of God that he has for your life because you believe the liar who is the devil. So number one, learn God's truth, the commandments, the statutes, the judgments. Number two, remember God's blessing. God's been good to us. God's been good to us. I like what he says here in verse number 12. He said, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Amen. Sometimes it just does us good to remember where God found us, doesn't it? It just does us good to remember. Where would we be if it were not for the goodness and the grace of God? Only God knows, brethren. Only God knows where we would be. I can tell you right now, we wouldn't be here tonight. We wouldn't be here tonight saying amen with a Bible in our hand and rejoicing over good singing and fellowship and getting ready to celebrate a good saint of God's birthday. We wouldn't be involved in things like that. We'd be running around in our own rebellion if we'd even be alive at all. And so he said, number one, learn God's truth now. Number two, he said, remember God's blessing. Look at verse 23. Verse 23. I like this verse. It says this. It says, and he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in. Amen. That's what God does. See, God brought me out of sin into salvation. God brought me out of darkness into light. God brought me out of the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of his dear son. Amen. God's done that for you too. See, God's blessed us. God's blessed us. I was thinking about this week. I was thinking about people who say they're saved and never want to serve God. Now, I want you to listen very carefully to me. God brought us out to bring us in. I've watched this. Listen, I've been pastoring now for about 35 years, and I've seen a lot of people. I've seen them come and go. I've seen them stand and sit. You listening? The difference between saved people and lost people is saved people want to obey. Now, I didn't say they always did, but they want to. Lost people never want to obey. Before I got saved, I had zero, are you listening? Zero concern about obeying anything God said. Zero. If you're here tonight and you have zero concern about doing anything God says, you have every right to doubt you're saved in the grace of God. Zero. But if you're here, whether you're doing what God said or not, but you say, I want to, I know I should, I have a desire to, but I don't always do it, well, now that's a good sign. But now if you're sitting here tonight and you've never had a desire to do what God says, as a matter of fact, when someone preaches to you to do something, you kind of bow up and say, I'm not going to do that, you have every right to know that you've never been saved in the grace of God. Because God puts something in someone's heart when they get saved to make them want to obey the Word of God, you see. And so don't you sit on a church pew. Now hear me now. Don't you sit on a church pew believing that you're saved because you said some little prayer now and that you're going to go to heaven. Now, folks don't go to heaven for saying a little prayer. Folks go to heaven by being born again. And born again folk want to do what Jesus said do. Hear me now. It's real. And so it says right here in verse number 23, he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in. Right? Yeah. I like that. I sure do. Look at verse number 24. This is a really good verse of scripture. We'll close this section out before we get to that third truth. Verse 24 says this, and the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God. Watch it now, for our good always. Amen. So, well now, why in the world the preacher up there trying to tell me how to live? It's for your own good. Why does God want me to do thus and thus? For your own good. Why should I stay away from this and not do that? For your own good. Always. That's what the book says. Can I tell you, this book's never wrong. This preacher may be wrong, but as long as I stay in this book, I'm right. Amen. That's right. And so he said right here, he said, number one, you want to obey. And I want to obey, and I believe many, if not most, if I can't say, if not all of you, I don't know, want to obey. What's going to help me to obey? Well, I need to learn God's truth. What does God say about it? What does God say about it? Number two, I need to remember God's blessings. God's been good to me. God's been good to me. And because of that, I can't just walk around like a sourpuss all the time. I got to smile and praise the Lord. I got to say amen. I have to testify the Lord's goodness in my life. I've got to tell somebody, God's been good to me. Amen? Amen. I've just got to. It just comes out. It just breaks out on me. Praise the Lord. My wife, much to her dismay, I sing. And I just walk around the house singing about the goodness of the Lord. See, God's been good to me and my family. How about you, brethren? Can you testify of the goodness of the Lord in your family? Praise the Lord. God's blessings. Number three. Appreciate God's love. Chapter 7, it changes from learning God's truth to remembering God's blessing to appreciating God's love. Well, I tell you,
God says in chapter 7, he begins to talk about going into the land. God said, I'm going to take care of you over there. God said, I'm going to take care of you when you get in that land. You're not going to have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about these Jebusites and these Canaanites and these Perizzites and these Hivites and the Amorites and the Hittites and the Girgashites. He said, you don't have to worry about them. He said, I'm going to take care of your enemies. Can I tell you, God will take care of you? He will, because he loves you. Look, if you would, in verse number 6. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. See, that's what saved people are. That's what God's chosen people are. Now, you might not be a perfect people, but you're a holy people. God's people live for God. Amen. That's right. He said, you're a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Now, I realize he's talking about the children of Israel. But can I tell you that you and I, who were saved in the grace of God, we're special people to God too. We are. We're God's sons. He calls us the sons of God. You know that's your new name? You have a new name. 1 John 1:3, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Amen. What a wonderful, wonderful name God's given us. I'm a son of God. It's all people are sons of God. No, that's not so. No, you're either a child of God or a child of the devil. Now, we all God's creation, but not everyone's a child of God. You only become a child of God by being born into his family. That's the only way you can become a child of God. Look what he said in verse number 7. What a wonderful verses 7 and 8 are. The Lord did not set his love. We're talking about love. We're talking about appreciating God's love now. So we went from learning God's truth. This is what's going to help me obey. I need to learn his truth. And then I need to remember his blessing. I need to appreciate his love for me. I don't want to take for granted that God loves me even when I'm not lovable. God loves me. God loves me when I'm good. God loves me when I'm bad. God loves me when I'm sad. Amen. God loves me with an everlasting love. God loves you too. Look at what he said here in verse 7. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. He said, I love you because, well, I just love you. I want to love you. He said, I don't understand why God loves me, preacher. I don't either. I don't understand why God loves me. I don't understand why God loves you. I don't understand why God loves any of us. But I sure am glad he does. Amen. I sure am glad that he does. See, God loves us. So I'm working hard to earn the love of God. That'll never happen. He already loves you. He loves you. Do you appreciate the fact that God loves you? Even when you are not in line with God, even when you're not obeying the commandments, God still loves you. He may not be pleased with you, but he loves you. Parents know what I'm talking about. Your children can go against your rules. They can go against your command. But you still love them. You might want to choke them, beat them with a belt, but you still love them. Amen. You still love them. Even when they go against your word, they go against the rules, you love them. You love them. God loves us. I hope you appreciate the love of God. Well, get down to the final thing here, okay? The final thing. Witnessing God's power. So here's four things that's going to help us to be obedient. Learn God's truth. Remember God's blessing. Appreciate God's love. Witness God's power. When's the last time you've seen the power of God? God's power hasn't diminished. I want you to look in these scripture at some of the things, and there's many truths. And you start in verse number 17. Look what God said here in chapter 7, verse 17. He said, if thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispose of them? or dispose them. Dispossess them, I'm sorry. Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt. Let me ask you a question. Do you remember that? You remember what God did to the enemies of his people? Do you? I can guarantee you they did. God said, don't you ever forget that now. You well remember. Don't miss this now. I'm talking to you about God's power. And he said, if you want to obey God and you want to be obedient to God's commandments, learn the truth, remember the blessing, appreciate the love. He said, but what? Witness the power. Don't you forget. He said, you well remember in verse number 18, right? You well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and to all of Egypt. God didn't put up with that. Amen. He didn't. Now God can get, listen, God can get severe. He can. I think sometimes we live in this soft society that we live in that we've tried to make God soft. God's not soft. Now, God's a God of love, but God's a God of judgment and wrath, too. He is. Notice, if you would, drop down. Well, let's just keep reading. In verse number 20, we'll just get down to verse number 20. Moreover, the Lord thy God will send the hornet among them until they that are left and hide themselves from thee be destroyed. Thou shalt not be affrighted at them. For the Lord thy God is among you a mighty God and terrible. That's our word, awesome. God is awesome. His power is awesome. There's nothing that God cannot do. And God took care of them when they were in Egypt and God destroyed their enemies. But you know what he said? He said, God's going to take care of you when you get into Canaan's land too. He said, God's going to take care of you when you get over there. Notice if you would, in verse number 19, he said, the great temptations which thine eyes saw and the signs and the wonders and the mighty hand and the stretched out arm whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out. Look at it now. So shall the Lord thy God do unto all the people of whom thou art afraid. In other words, when you go into Canaan, the same God that took care of those folks there in Egypt is going to take care of you and take care of your enemies when you get there in Canaan. Can I tell you, God's power will be with you every day, no matter what circumstance you're in. That's what God's teaching these people here. Say, well, now, preacher, I'm going through some hard situations. Verse 22 is one of my favorite verses in this section. I've learned in my life that God does things this way, and I want you to listen to this very carefully. Sometimes we think that God's just going to just make everything all right overnight. You know? I've been in a mess for 6 months or 6 years, or I've been in a mess all of my life, and bingo, overnight, God's just going to presto, and everything's going to be all right. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Now, I'm glad when we ask forgiveness, God will forgive us just like that, and we can be saved or we can be right with God. Amen. But now the fix that we get ourselves in, notice what the Bible says that God will do. Look at verse 22. And the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee by little and little. I just love that. Amen. God's just not going to run them all out of town overnight. See, there was a purpose for that, and He talked about the purpose, thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beast of the field increase upon thee. God said, I have a purpose, now watch this now, for doing it at the pace I'm doing it at. I'm going to do it by little, by little. And sometimes in our lives when we're going through bad situations or we're going through things that we don't want to go through and we're saying, I want to see the power of God and I want to see God do something. I want to see change come overnight and I just want to see God move and I want everything to be all right right now. God said, no, that's not the way I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it by little, by little. Because I'm going to grow your faith and I'm going to teach you to trust me. I have a purpose for the way I do things. Isn't that what he's saying right here, brethren? It certainly is. We need to learn that. Oh, how God is teaching the children of Israel to lean on him and to obey him. By what? By learning the truth. By remembering his blessing, by appreciating his love, by witnessing his power. You know, sometimes we see the power of God every day by little, and we don't even recognize it. You got out of bed this morning. I don't know that anybody thought about, God help me. God help me get out of bed this morning. Well, God didn't help me. Now, wait a minute now. You sure? You sure? I don't know. Probably everybody in here has ate at least one time a day. Today, God gave me food to eat today. By little. And if we're not careful, we'll overlook all these things. You see what he's saying? All of these things that we get to enjoy and we get to see the hand of God involved in, and we just begin to take those for granted, and we're looking for something, you know, that's just on the scale of 10 instead of God just meeting our daily provisions. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. Now, let me close with this. If you're a parent or grandparent, I want you to write these down. And I want you to go back to chapter 6, and I'm just going to run over them, and then we're going to come back here. All right, we'll come back here in the weeks to come. I want you to teach your children and your grandchildren the Ten Commandments. Drill them. Test them. Make sure they know them. And then have conversation with them. Notice what he said here. First of all, he said, you teach them convincingly. Look at verse number 6. Write that word down, convincingly. He said, they shall be in your heart. Can I tell you, you can't teach anybody anything that's going to be convincing if you don't believe it yourself. You'll never convince someone else of something you're not convinced of. And now what God said in verse number 6, he said, you get it in your heart, and that way you can get it in your children's heart. That's right. So convincingly. Number 2, write this word down. Consistently. Look at the word diligently in verse number 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Don't teach them thou shalt not steal one time and say, well, that's it, they got that. I doubt it. They'll probably steal. You say, oh, not my children. I know, they're angels. Only the neighbor's kids are devils. Amen. Right? This is where we mess up. You have to just keep teaching them and keep teaching them and keep teaching them. How many times do you have to tell them to say thank you before they said thank you? You think you can tell them not to steal one time and it's going to set? Just keep teaching them. Teach them diligently. That word, when you really get down to the root of it, it means fervently. It means consistently. Just keep teaching them and keep teaching them and keep teaching them. Say, well, preacher, I mean, my goodness, they're 21 now. Just keep telling them, don't you steal now, son. Amen. That's right. That's right. So teach them. Number one, convincingly. Number two, consistently, over and over. Don't give up now. And then look at verse 7. Teach them creatively. Look at what he said here. You teach them. He said, talk with them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Just get creative. Teach the Ten Commandments in Bible stories. Teach the Ten Commandments in Bible reading. Teach the Ten Commandments in song. Little Avery rode to Bible school with us, our little granddaughter. And Sharon began to sing her this song about Noah. Every night when we jumped in the car, she would say, tat, tat, Mimi. Tat, tat. With a rat-a-tat and a rat-a-tat, she was teaching her that song. And boy, I'm telling you, Avery picked right up on it. Children pick up. You teach them songs about the Ten Commandments. You teach them songs about the Word of God. See, you got to get creative. You can't sit down and give them a 30-minute dissertation on the Ten Commandments. It's not going to work. Amen? It's not going to work. And so, get creative. So, teach them creatively. Number 4, teach them conversationally. In other words, notice what he said there in verse number 7. He said, talk with them, right? Talk with them. When thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, have conversations about why you shouldn't steal and why there's only one God. Why they shouldn't be immoral, right? Look down, if you would, in verse number 21, brethren. This is good stuff here. He said, there's going to come a day now, verse 20, I'm sorry, verse 20 of chapter 6, about through here, don't you miss this. He said, you have conversations, because when thy son asketh thee in time to come, now listen carefully, when they're little, they're probably not going to ask you. They're going to be listening, they're going to be all ears. Then they're going to understand what temptation is, and they're going to remember what daddy and mama taught them, and they're going to come back. In verse number 20, this is what the Word of God says, and when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what meaneth these testimonies and these statutes and these judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Huh? It's going to come back. They're going to want to know, why do we believe thou shalt not steal? Seems like I remember a little Bible song or a little Bible story that my dad read to me when I was a child that said, thou shalt not lie. Right? And they're going to be asking some questions. You take advantage of every one of those questions. Don't you blow your children off when they come up and start asking you questions about this book. You have good conversations with your children about what thus saith the Lord. That'll be all for tonight. We want to be obedient. We want to teach our children to be obedient to the Word of God. Obedient. It's important. I think if we're not careful, we'll say, the world's gone crazy, preacher, and there's nothing we can do. Well, I want to train up my children. I want to try to help with the grandchildren. I want to try to help with as many children as I can within the circle of influence that I have to try to make a difference, and I pray that you will too. Train up your children. I can't have a great influence on the children in the next state, right? I can pray, but I have to do with what I've got right here by me. And if everyone would start taking responsibility to teach and to pray and to live, it'll make a difference. Don't get so engulfed in the fact that, well, the world's gone crazy and we can't do anything about it. Oh, yes, we can. And it starts with our home. Let's stand to our feet. Do you remember the things that's going to help you be obedient? You say, well, I'm just going to try hard. Well, good luck with that. I'm going to try hard. Well, you ought to try, but you're going to need more than trying hard. You're going to have to know God's truth. You're going to have to remember God's blessing. God's been good to us. Remember how God has blessed you. You've got to appreciate God's love. See, when you realize how much God loves you, you don't want to break His heart. There's something deeper in my life. I'm more concerned about breaking God's heart than I am breaking God's law. I am. See, His love means more to me than His law. Listen, I love God. I do not want to disappoint Him. And so I do not want to let Him down. And then last of all, witnessing God's power. Witnessing God's power. Let's bow our heads together.